Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second lesson that we're talking about three men of the Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of whom we read in Daniel the third chapter, when they were commanded to bow before an idol that had been erected by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Well, of course, being children of God, and being obedient to God being their primary concern in life, they did not bow before that idol, and it was reported to the king that they did not bow, and a punishment for disobedience was that they would be cast into the fiery furnace. Well, nonetheless, they refused, in spite of that threat, to obey the king, and they chose to obey God. Well, the king Nebuchadnezzar seems to have offered them a second chance, doesn't it? He said, "Now, even though you disobeyed the first time, next time there's the signal to worship, if you will just worship the idol, why, everything will be all right." But their response was this: "We will not bow before that idol. You don't have to wait until we give you an answer to what we're going to do. We will not disobey God. God will deliver us. If he chooses not to deliver us, that'll be all right too. But they told the king, be it known unto you, we will not serve thy gods." Now, friend, this was a very bold proclamation on their part. But the king didn't have to wait until the next signal for the idol worship to have his answer. They gave him their answer right away. It was the answer that they had from the beginning. But doubtless this challenged the prestige and the power of the king and his word. But there was one whom these three served who was greater than Nebuchadnezzar. But they said they would die before they would turn away from the true and living God. Now the anger of the king toward them is evident in that he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Why, there's no explanation for this extravagance, except that he was in great rage against them because of their disobedience. The normal firing of the furnace would have been sufficient to kill the victims, but he wanted to be sure that no god, nobody, could deliver these subjects. So the three were bound, they were led to the furnace, they were cast into it, and even those who took them there were killed by the extreme heat that came from it. I don't know the exact structure of the furnace, but we can conclude that in some way or another the king could see into the furnace. How merciless one must be to want to even view the burning of a person. But he watched, and what he saw was not what he expected. He was astonished and cried out, "Did not we cast 3 men into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the furnace, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Well, he ordered the men out of the furnace. And when they made their exit, there was not even the smell of smoke about their clothing. Their hair was not even singed. Such deliverance was accomplished in spite of the furnace being heated 7 times hotter than usual. Now, the exact identity of this 4th man in the furnace has been a source of much speculation. There must remain just speculative because we're not authoritatively told who it was. In verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar identified him as one of God's angels that delivered God's servants. Some have even speculated that it was the second person of the Godhead, but friend, we cannot know for sure, and it really is immaterial for us to have to know, we do well to simply accept the report that there were the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and another along with them, and don't try to add or subtract from what the record simply says. Just accept the record and move on to other information. Now, there are so many practical and spiritual lessons that we gain from the record of these three men, but let us focus our attention on some. First, we have to admire and try to imitate their great faith in God. Do we not see God's power? Do we not see God's providence? These men had not been told that God would deliver them. Oh, I suppose they could recall how that God had delivered his servants many times before, but these were also God's servants, and many times God's servants had to suffer. But they were not told that they would be delivered. But regardless of that, with them, deliverance or no deliverance, they would remain loyal to God, and they did not doubt him for a moment. Such complete submission and respect for Almighty God, friend, is noteworthy. God could provide, and God had provided, and God would provide again if he saw fit. That was the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But do we not also have the assurance from Christ that God will provide? Jesus once said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Yes, God will provide for his people. Whatever God sees is needful for us and bid for us, if we put him first, he will provide. While we're not promised at all we want, and we're not promised that everything is going to be easy, we will have what God sees that we need in his infinite wisdom. And so we respect and we praise and we are thankful to God for his providence. If only we can grow to have such a faith in God as these men had. God still delivers, friend, and with a deliverance far more beneficial than the deliverance from physical death in a fiery furnace. He gives us a spiritual deliverance from the wages of sin. When we consider the fiery hell toward which so many are rushing who are out of Christ, what a marvelous deliverance it is to be delivered from sin that is available through Christ. But we also have to admire the courage of these men. Their life was in the balance, and they realized something even more important was in the balance, and that was their accountability before God. They courageously held to their convictions of truth. Being loyal to God, you see, meant more to them than remaining in positions of prominence or even remaining alive. Now, many of us would have compromised, possibly, under similar circumstances. There have been those who have denied the Lord for far lesser reasons than these three men had. But like the early Christians who died rather than forsake Christ, these men considered life less significant than faithfulness, and they were men of courage. They not only said that they would be loyal, they were loyal. You know, in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, as one studies the Scriptures, as one observes the kind of people that God is able to use, as we see the kind of people that are pleasing in the sight of God, he will not fail to note that people of similar courage like these are pleasing to God. Weaker, less determined people without the strong purpose and conviction cannot fight the good fight of faith like the Apostle Paul, and like God expects of all Christians. But we also see something else about these men. We see the power of a steadfast and good influence. Now, these men paid an awful price to remain steadfast in the truth. they were cast into the fiery furnace. But what a glorious effect they had upon those round about them! They had a great influence even upon Nebuchadnezzar, that he commanded that nobody ever speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it true that sometimes Christians tragically fail to realize what an influence they can have upon others? And when they are in the company of others, they should follow the ways of God rather than follow the ways of those with whom they are associating. We should be very careful, of course, about who are our associates and who are our friends. When you compromise what you know is right, you'll lose your self-respect. But if you will remain confident in the things of God, why, you will always retain a self-confidence. You may temporarily gain certain fair-weather friends if you compromise what is right. But those friends will not respect you because they know you have your price and that you can be bought. On the other hand, others may not accept your convictions. They may disagree with you violently. But more often than not, they will usually hold you in a greater esteem because you have convictions and will stand for what you believe at all costs. Do not we sin grievously when we allow our behavior to bring reproach upon the way of the Lord, and we compromise what is right in order to be pleasing to those round about us? Yes, there was an influence on Nebuchadnezzar. It was such that he no longer required these men to bow before his idol. It made such a change that he demanded that nobody ever speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the kind of influence they had when they were faithful to God. Yes, we see they had characteristics of faithfulness to God, characteristics of courage, characteristics of steadfastness. They were determined to do what was right, regardless of what the consequences might be. Oh, the consequences that faced them, they were dreadful. But that was not what was primary importance to them. Their important matter was, shall we do the bidding of God, or shall we go the way of those who were the idolaters? Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they had an influence in their life, and they had an influence upon the people round about them. And they're still having an influence. You know, when we pick up the Bible and we read about people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're influenced by it. It shows to us what God wants us to be. And should we not be determined to strive to develop these kind of characteristics and be just as loyal to God as they were? Now, not many of us will likely face such a fate as the fiery furnace, but there are certain persecutions that Christians face even today. Paul said those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Why, we can expect that. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. But let's remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the quality of character that was pleasing to Almighty God. And my dear listening friend, you and I can have those same qualities if we put forth the effort. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.